Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Pracharani Navasesha Srinivari Pashtyatra Adishatarani Sri Varsha Balavi Devi Dayataya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Pravave Namah Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Satchitananda Namani Gaura Shakti Surupaya Upanuga Variety Vancha Kalpa Chuvias Chakri Pasindu Vayavacha Titanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namunama Jaya Jaya Harinam Chid Anandam Rita Dham Paratattva Akshara Akara Neja Dani Kripa Kari Nama Rupe Avatari Jive Daya Kari Layapara Echai Gosai Kori Charanandanan Yavaite Bignanash Avishta Puran Shiro Tri Sanatan Bhatta Ragnar Sri Jiva Gopala Bhatta Das Ragnar Sri Bhajan Hasyam Ki Jai Bhakti Nam Thakura Ki Jai. So we're beginning with Bhakti Nam Thakura disguised as Dvitiya Yam Sadhan, the second step of sadhana. It's called Pratak Kaliya Bhajan. For the Jatarati Sadhaka, he will do bhajan, meditating on Pratak Kalila from 6 o'clock in the morning until 8:30 a.m., which is the Pratak Lila of Radha Krishna. Lord Chaitanya indicates the awareness of one's incompetence to execute this super excellent form of sadhana, which he describes so beautifully in verse 1, by elucidating the seven wonderful treasures that one can attain by chanting Shuddhanam of the Mahamantra. Yet at the same time, Lord Chaitanya is increasing everyone's faith towards Krishna's holy name by announcing the supreme utility of Krishnanam Sankirtan. Because in this verse, Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis Tatarpita Niyamata Smarane Nakalaha Etajashi Tavakripa Bhagavan Mamapi Durdhevam Nidishami Hajani Nanaraga. He's telling in the beginning of the verse, you have all your potencies and powers, and you're giving everything, but from my side, from your side, everything is coming, all your powers, but from my side, there's a problem. I'm Durdevam. I'm very far. Dura means far. I'm far from receiving all these powers due to a variety of problems with me, my ignorance, my offenses, like this. So I'm disqualified. So that's what he's saying. He's expressing the heart of a struggling sadhaka by saying, yes, I'm incompetent to receive all these powers and grace that's in your holy names. But at the same time, he's telling, but don't mind, you're incompetent, but there are really no hard and fast rules. Niyama smarane. But then he concludes by saying, but okay, it's like that, but even then, I'm so fallen, I have no attachment, I have no attraction. So at Bhakti Nam Thakura, he also mentions a brief introduction to this verse on page 20, which is back quite a ways, but he explains, he says that the second yama is dvitiya. Dvitiya means second. Pratak Kaliya Bhajan holds the secret of the removal of anarthas, anartha nivritti, in the association of devotees. Because this particular verse, Nam Namakari Bahuda Nijasarva Shakti, represents three levels of sadhana bhakti, represents sarasanga, vajana kriya, and anartha nivritti. So three are in this one verse. And Chaitodhavana Marjanam represents shraddha, which we discussed. So this bhajan holds the secret of the removal of anarthas in the association of devotees. Nam, the holy name, and Nami, the possessor of the name, are non-different in tattva. Mercy and all other potencies of the personification of Nam are placed within the name of Bhagavan. And cleansing the heart, Cheto Dharna Marjanam, becomes possible by performing such bhajan. The second yama explains the secrets of Nam bhajan in accordance with the mood of the second verse of Shikshastika, which begins with the words Nam Namakari. So, in this section, this Dvitiya Yam Sadhana, as in all the other sections, Bhaktivinoda Thakura explains the meaning of this verse by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by citing Shastric references. And then he also cites references to explain these three stages which he considers that are incorporated into this prayer. These three stages of Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya, and Anartha Nivritti. So all of these things are in this chapter 2, describing this particular verse. There are titles that are given to this verse by different acharyas. They say, one person says, why is Bhaktivinoda Thakura in his commentary on Shikshastakam, in relation to this verse, he gives a title. And he says, why is Nam Sadhana so accessible? In other words, what makes the chanting of Hare Krishna so accessible? Well, Mahaprabhu is telling, there's no hard and fast rules. You can chant anytime, anywhere, in any condition, shud or ashud. So why is Nam Sadhana so accessible? Another title is Unlimited Names of God. And a third title is The Power of the Holy Name. Nija Sarva Shaktis, right? Shakti is power. So the translation, we have two translations, or rather three. Firstly, we can cite the translation from Srila Prabhupada in Anti Lila chapter 20, verse 16. Srila Prabhupada is translating this verse, Nam Namakari Bahuda. My Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, in your holy name there is all good fortune for the living entity, and therefore you have many names such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you expand yourself. You have invested all your potencies in those names, and there are no hard and fast rules for remembering them, my dear Lord. So that's the positive side of the verse. From Krishna's side, everything is auspicious. The sun is shining, it's bright, it's positive, encouraging. Now we look at our side. My dear Lord, although you bestow such mercy upon the fallen, conditioned souls by liberally teaching them your holy names, I am so unfortunate that I commit offenses while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. So Prabhupada, he's taking dual meaning of Durdevam, which is indicated by the acharyas. Durdevam means unfortunate, which is one obvious meaning. It means Durdevam in one sense means that one is far from being a deva. Dur means difficult or distant or far away from, and deva means, in one sense, deva means transcendental, or deva means a devotee. And deva means a celestial personality, the devas. So durdeva means I'm quite ungodly, and I'm quite worldly, and I'm quite full of sin. So I am durdeva. So that's the first meaning of durdeva. And another meaning is, which the acharyas indicate, that durdeva points to the quality of being. You can close this door if you want. Prakash, close that door on right and left side. Just close both those doors because it's kind of cramping everybody's leg space. The other one also. The acharyas indicate, aside from the literal meaning which we're indicating, Duradevam also means someone who's making offenses, which we may be one of those persons. So Prabhupada says, I am so unfortunate, Durdevam, that I commit offenses, Durdevam, while chanting the holy name, and therefore I do not achieve attachment for chanting. A second translation. O my Lord, your holy name bestows auspiciousness upon all. You have unlimited names such as Krishna and Govinda, by which you reveal yourself. In your many holy names, you have invested all your transcendental potencies. And in chanting these names, there are no strict rules concerning time or place. Out of your causeless mercy, you have descended in the form of divine sound. But my great misfortune is that I have no love for your holy name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his own words, which are quoted by Krishna's Kaviraj, first he spoke the Sanskrit verse, and then he reiterated key points of the verse in the Bengali language, which are quoted. So the quotes around it indicate that this is the direct words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Gauranga said, Aneka loka vancha, aneka prakar, kripate karila anek namana prachar. And it's very interesting because our commentaries or discussion will be taking off from these phrases of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because people vary in their desires, anek loka, loka vancha, you have distributed various holy names. Anek loka vancha, anek nama prachar. This is chapter 20, verse 17. Because people vary in their desires, you, my Lord, have distributed various holy names by your mercy. Namaya prachar. Kahite shuite jata tatanamalai kaladesha niyam nahi sarvasiddhi hoy. Regardless of time or place, one who chants the holy name, even while eating or sleeping, attains all perfection. Sarvashakti name dila Kariya vibhag, amara jodheva name nahi anurag. And this anurag, Krishna's Kaviraj puts two exclamation points. One, two. I mean, this is really emphasis. Name nahi anurag. It's double exclamation points. It means that he's really exclaiming and proclaiming something. It's a no-no if you've ever taken Jayadvaita's editing course. You're not allowed to put two exclamation points, not even one practically. He said this is only to be done very rarely, to use exclamation, one of those little lines with a dot under it. That's called, you know, at the end of a sentence, instead of full stop, it's a full stop with a, you know, fountain coming out of it or something. Amra dudeva name nahi anurag. Sarvashakti name dila kariya vibhag. So, he's saying, Mahaprabhu is saying, you, my Lord, have invested your full potencies in each individual holy name, but I am so unfortunate that I have no attachment for chanting your holy names. With these prayers, they constitute our daily bhajan, because they bring about so much mood of humility, and they bring about so much mood of surrender and dependence on the Lord, and the more we deepen our bhajan in shloka number 2, then we go deep into the ocean of this shloka number 2, then we come up on the shore of Trinadapi Sunichena. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his wording and by his expressing here, he's trying to point us in the direction of the third shloka. And so that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we have to do bhajan according to each shloka, and we develop the fine points and the qualities of each shloka within our heart and mind and our bhajan. And then that gives us the eligibility to enter the third shloka, then the fourth shloka. That's why it's a krama, it's a sequence. And it's all given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, an additional translation given from this edition of Bhajan Rahasyam, Nam Nam Akari Bahudha Nijasarva Shaktis Tatra Pita Niyamata Smarane Nakalaha Eta jashi tava kripa bhagavan mamapi tur deva mihi ijisham mihajani nana raga. O Bhagavan, your names bestow all auspiciousness upon the jivas. Therefore, for their benefit, You are eternally manifest as your innumerable names, Ram, Narayan, Krishna, Mukunda, Madhav, Govinda, Damodar. You have invested those names with all the potencies of their respective forms. Out of your causeless mercy, you have not even imposed any restrictions on the remembrance of these names, as is the case with certain prayers and mantras that must be chanted at specific times. Sandhya Vandana, which means Ainak, means Brahma Gayatri, Gopal Mantra, Kam Gayatri. These are Sandhyas. You have to chant them at the Sandhya, the junction of night and day, junction of day and morning and noon, the junction of day and night, the Sandhyas. Because there's, you worship the particular Devi, or the energy Shakti of the Lord, who's predominating over that Sandhya. So Savitri's in the morning, and Gayatri's in the afternoon, and Saraswati's in the evening. So to attain the mercy of Bhagavan Shakti, then we chant these prayers specifically on the mark, or on the time. In other words, the holy name of Bhagavan can be chanted and remembered at any time, day or night. This is the arrangement you have made, O Prabhu. You have such causeless mercy upon the jivas. Nevertheless, due to my nama parad, I am so unfortunate that no attachment for your holy name, which is so easily accessible and which bestows all good fortune, has awakened within me. So the this verse has different parts in it, so I want to examine those different parts. Beginning with Nam Nam Akari Bahuda. Nam Nam Akari Bahuda. Akari means to reveal. Bahuda means many. And Nam Nam means names. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying Krishna has many names, which are all non-different from him. And they can be classified into two categories, Mukhya and Gonanam, which means principal and secondary names. Principal names, or Mukhya Nam, are names like Hari, Krishna, Rama, Govinda. They have all the complete potencies of Krishna's Surup Shakti and can bestow prema. Secondary names like Paramatma, Mahendra, which means the greatest Lord, Bhagavan, Supreme Controller, Jagadish, God, etc. They are partially endowed with potency. Mukhya or principal names are of two types, Aishvarya and Madhurya. Madhurya Mukhya Nam includes names like Krishna, Radha Raman, Gopi Jana Vallabha, Giridhari Shyam, and Hari Murari. These particular names, which are known as Mukhya, Madhurya Nam, they represent the sweet, intimate, loving feature of the Lord. So, we have the best, because Rama means Radha Raman, Krishna means Krishna, and Hari is. It's Krishna or Radharani calling for Krishna or Radharani. So these, all the three names of the Maha Mantra are Mukhya Nam and Madhurya Nam, which means the Maha Mantra which we chant represents the sweet, intimate, loving feature of the Lord. Aishvarya Nam, like Nisringa, Ramchandra, Vasudev, and Narayan, they represent the majestic, opulent, and reverential feature of the Lord. Sometimes these two categories of name are called Brajanam and Vaikunthanam. Now, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling in his commentary on Antilila, chapter 20 and verse 17, 18, 19, he says, Aneka, Aneka Vancha, Aneka Nam. He said that people have different desires, and so therefore the Lord has different names. So this commentary is relating to that. According to nature, people have different tastes. Therefore, the all-merciful Supreme Lord has appeared in the material world in unlimited forms with different names according to his birth, activities, qualities, and pastimes. Some names of Krishna are related to his birth. Nandakumar, Yashoda Nandan, Nandanandan. Some names of Krishna are related, this is the idea, it's Nam Namakara, you have many names. So, we heard that he has Vaikunthanam, he has Brajanam, or Mukyanam and Gonanam. Now we're hearing you have names related to your activities, your Leelanam, or Gonanam, like this. So these are names related to the times of his activities. Names related to his activities, Govardhandari, Kamsari, Ravanari, Kaliyadaman. Krishna has names of the Nam Namakari, the varieties of names. He has names that are related to his qualities. So, Bhaktivatsal, Kripamaya. Then he has names related directly to his pastimes, Damodar, Makanchor, Rasabihari. So this is another way of examining the Krishna's Nam Namakari. And this notes get a little jump around here. Now, why so many different names? Why does Krishna have so many different names? Names according to his qualities or his activities or leelas. Mukyanam, Gonanam, different names. And as Lord Chaitanya is saying, people have different desires. So why Krishna has so many names? Because Krishna is unconditionally and causelessly merciful, which is mentioned in this verse by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We'll get to that. Bhagavan Kripa. It says Tava Kripa. He says Tava Kripa Bhagavan. Bhagavan Kripa. This means the mercy of Bhagavan. He's so merciful. He understands that everyone will not accept one name because living entities are not all on the same spiritual level. For example, many people chant the name Allah or Jehovah, but they could never accept the name Radharaman. Can you imagine? Or Gopi Janavallabha. Many karmis are pious and religious, but they misunderstand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and they think that Krishna is immoral. Whatever stage of spiritual evolution a person is on, there is a corresponding aspect of Godhead whose name they can accept. Some think Bhagavan has no form or qualities. He is Nirguna Nirvishesh, Nirakar, Brahma. For these people, Krishna represents himself as Brahman. Such people, these are basically Mayavadis, they could never have any faith in names like Krishna, Ram, and Hari. So this is a little bit about Nam Namakari. Different kinds of people, so Krishna is so merciful. Alright, you chant this name. Nam Namakari Bahuda, Nija Sarva Shakti. So Nija Sarva Shakti, Nija your own, Sarva all, and Shakti, power of potencies. You have invested all your potencies. In this, we cited this verse that, there's another verse in chapter 17 of Adi Leela. Kali Kaliyanam Rupa Krishna Avatar. This is explaining that in this age of Kali, Krishna descends in the form of his holy name. Since the holy name is a direct manifestation of God, the name must have all the eternal powers of God. There is no object or person in the material world who is the same, it is the same as its name. This is a classic example that Prabhupada would always cite. If you chant water, 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 you can't quench your thirst because there's a difference between the name and the object which is named. But chanting God's name, by chanting God's name, one will experience the presence or energy, a reality of God, and ultimately one will see God, have Sakshat Darshan, Nam Rup Gun Leela. So this is something, there's non-difference between the name. Because Krishna is non-different from his holy name, his name is fully invested with all his power, all his sweetness, his compassion, his love for his devotees, and all his other transcendental qualities. So this is, the Nija Sarva Shakti means these things, because love is also a Shakti. compassion. Karuna is also a Shakti. His sweetness, everything. There's no difference between Krishna's form and name. In Purvarag, Radharani confessed to Lalita Sakhi, "I should give up my life, for I am so shameful. I am a married woman, yet I have fallen in love with three men." This is from Vidagdha Madhav. "First I heard the name Shyam, and that name captured my heart. Then someone walked nearby my palace playing a flute song so sweet that my mind is now enchanted. And now, this morning, Vishaka has presented me a painting of a most handsome person whose body shines like a fresh rain cloud. Feeling overwhelmed, I run away, but wherever I run and turn, I see that painting. Alas, what can a poor girl do?" So she's in love with this person named Shyam and somebody who's playing the flute, and then some beautiful blue boy in the painting given to her by Vishaka. And she's thinking, "But I'm married. This is abominable. This is treacherous. This is most improper." Lalita tries to console Radha, saying, "Listen, Radhika, he whose name is Shyam, and he who plays the flute, and the handsome man in the painting are all the same person. They are your eternal lover, Shyam Sundar." So, this is Krishna's name, Nicha Sarva Shakti. And whether he's the flute player, because Krishna's a flute player, or he's in the picture, or he's Shyam Sundar, it's all Krishna. Then we hear the story in the Bhagavatam about the Nija Sarva Shaktis of Ajamil. He was redeemed and saved from all of his sins. And then he did Naam Bhajan, attained liberation. Then King Bharat, by the grace of the holy name, he remembered his previous birth. And he had the intelligence not to mix with other devotees. Then when he died, the holy name came on his tongue. We've known his previous birth. So this is, even as Acharya was saying it, when the deer died, the holy name came on his tongue. So this was a special appearance, even in an animal. Then in next birth he became Jad Bharat, which we all know, great Brahmin saint. So this is the extraordinary power of the holy name, that the holy name, as we mentioned earlier, is like the Holy Ghost. And it stays with us wherever we go, even if we're traveling from a king's body to a deer's body, by the mercy of Krishna, the potency and presence of the holy name may stay with us. So, these are some examples that are cited about the needs of Sarva Shaktis. Krishna, now this is because Lord Chaitanya is saying, from the general translations, "You've invested all your power in your holy names," right? Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. But Krishna has not invested all his power in all his names. This is an interesting point of discretion, which we've alluded to, but not directly addressed it. He has invested the qualities of Brahman in the name Brahman. In Ramchandra's name, he has invested the qualities of Ramachandra, but not all the qualities of Krishna himself. Right? The Sarva Avatari, Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. Similarly, the potency of the names Vaman, Varaha, Matsya, Korma are like the potency of their Sarup. These names are not invested with all the potencies of Krishna's name. Although the fallen jivas have turned away from Krishna, Krishna's holy name, has all the necessary potency to turn them towards him and give them the seva. And a further elaboration, not all of Bhagavan's names have the same power. The name of Jagadish will not give Vraja Prem. Names like Yashomati Nandadulal, they have the power to give Vatsalya Bhav and reveal all the spiritual pastimes in Vatsalya Ras. Names like Gopal, Sunama Sakha, and Subal Priya have the potency to reveal all the pastimes in Sakyaras. Names like Radha Damodar, Radha Shamsundar, They have the potency to reveal the spiritual world and pastimes with the Braja Gopis and Madhurya Ras. So these are different fine points of understanding this verse, Nam Nam Akari Bahada Dinda Sarva Shaktis. That, oh my Lord, you have given all your potencies. But in the name, there's different levels. They're all potencies, but not complete. The complete potency is in a complete name. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because this is his commentary on the Maha Mantra, he's trying to encourage us to chant the Mukhya Nam, Braja Nam, Prem Nam of Krishna, and especially the Maha Mantra, which has the full power. That's why it's called Maha Mantra, because all the powers and qualities and pastimes and Madhurya and sweetness and everything of Krishna are there in the Maha Mantra, which is very clear when we read the commentaries of our Rasik Acharyas. What is the meaning of the holy name? By Raghunath Das Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gopal Guru Goswami, and Vishnath Chakravarti, his commentary is extremely deep and intimate. It's never been in print before in English. We got it translated a few years ago from Bhumi Bhatti. And then he called me on the phone. He said, "You sure you want to put this in your book?" I said, "Well, what's it? Tell me what it is." So before he handed it over to me, then he told me, I said, "Well, maybe I'll put a few verses," because I want to maintain a certain standard of, certain standard in the book. So I only indicated a few verses. I quoted the Sanskrit and then the translation of a few verses describing the meaning of a few words of the Maha Mantra. So in all of these translations, one gets the idea that all the most intimate sweetnesses of Radha and Krishna's Madhurya Leela are there in the Maha Mantra. So certainly the relationship between Radha and Krishna and Braj, this is the highest expression of Krishna, of God, love of God, and the highest form of Godhead is Radha and Krishna Yuga. So we have the topmost Nija Sarva Shaktis is the Maha Mantra. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he cites a few verses. Is there any questions or comments on this?
Nija Sarva Nam Nam Akara Kari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis. Does that indicate by the Sanskrit that the different names have different potencies?
Not being Nam Nam Akari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shaktis, because Nam Nam Akari says you've manifested. How Prabhupada translates it. Nam Nam are the holy names of the Lord, Akari, manifested, Bahuda, various kinds, Nija Sarva Shaktis, all kinds of personal potencies. So, not being Sanskritist, I can't really properly answer your question. But from the indication of the Acharyas, in some case, which we cited, some of them are quite expert in Sanskrit. Yeah. And a few of them many of them are taking off this point. Right. Which indicates that the Nam Nam means, well, you manifested all these holy names, but the Bahuda word is very significant, various kinds. So you have various kinds of names and all your potencies. Now all your potencies, you have so many, all spiritual potencies in there, but even in spiritual potency, we know there's Aishwarya spiritual potency, there's Madhurya spiritual potency, then there's different rasas. So it's one and different. So all the names are one, but then we have to differentiate also. So that word that gives room for differentiation in terms of Sanskrit commentaries is Bahuda. Because it's saying, you know, Akari Bahuda, you've manifested many varieties, many kinds of, well, varieties of what? Varieties of ras, varieties of activities, varieties of spiritual planes, varieties of intimacy, varieties of sweetness. This is what I can understand, because many, many acharyas are bringing out this point. That's a very good question. Anything, other question? So, some verses. Yes.
Thank you. And then she meets Shama, who's another person, and then she hears the beat.
Yeah, this Rupa Goswami and Vidagdha Madhav.
But she has seen Shyam, and the painting is looking like Shyam. So how does she think this is the point?
Well, this is one of the aspects of a level of prema called anurag, that even if you've seen the beloved, spent the whole night with the beloved, and you come out of the kunja and you meet with your sakis, Radharani meets with the sakis, and they say, oh, so you had a good time with Shyam? And she says, Shyam? Who's Shyam? Who is this Shyam? This is a very beautiful name. I never heard that name. Well, who are you talking about? So this is one symptom of anurag, that as we've all by this time heard the expression nava yovanam cha. Nava yovanam cha. That Krishna is always ever youthful. But not only ever youthful, but in anurag, both Radha and Krishna, because this is a very high level of praying, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. So an anurag, she spent the whole night, in that particular night of the rasa dance, dancing and romancing and everything else together, was a night of Brahma. So she just spent millions of years with Shyam. And then she comes in the morning and the sun's rising, and they say, Radharani, you look like you're shining and you're effulgent and you seem so joyful. What, you know, have you been sporting with Shyam? So this is the effect of anurag, that even when she hears Shyam's name, she doesn't recognize it. And then the sakis say, what do you mean you don't know Shyam? You just spent 3 million years with Shyam. A night of Brahma, so many millions of years. So, and then even sometimes the sakis are walking along by Govardhan. And then Radharani says, who is that person on the top there with the cows? And the gopis say, who do you mean? Is that one with the peacock feather and bluish, like looks like a blue like a rain cloud? And the gopis look at her and say, what are you talking about? That's Ganeshan. That's Krishna. Oh, I don't recognize him. Have I ever met him? And they're looking, because they have Radharani's honor. They have anurag also, but not to the extent that Radharani has. Madness comes in Mahabhav. It may appear, from our viewpoint, to be a type of madness, but it's just an intense level of attachment. I wouldn't say madness, because the acharyas don't categorize it as that. It's just a type of intense infatuation and love that makes somewhat of a bewilderment, or let's say a forgetfulness. And it's the same way with Mother Yashoda also. Every day she follows Krishna out to the forest, and every day it takes her, you know, an hour to say goodbye. She embraces him and drenches him with her breast milk and tears, and says, okay, Lala, you go, I'll send, and tells different sakas to protect Krishna, I'll send some tiffin to you later, please, Balaram, make sure he eats his tiffin. Okay, goodbye, Mom. And tells the father, Nanda, please make some new ball bats for me, my other bats are broken. They say, okay. And then they start, the boys go this way, and then Yashoda and Nanda go the opposite way, back to Nandagam. And then they turn around, and they run, oh, Lala! And they turn around, and then they, again, and so it takes 5 or 6 times of saying goodbye. And each time she meets, she doesn't think, I just say goodbye. And he doesn't think, you just did this. You just bathed me with your breast milk, and smothered me with kisses, and told me you would send me a tiffin. He doesn't think, oh, and she doesn't think, because there's also anurag between them. So this is like the transcendental exchanges, which are a little bit, you know, impossible to conceive. But at least the acharyas are describing the tattva, what it is, and they're giving us pastimes to illustrate the tattva. And by the strength of our bhajan and the blessings coming down from our guardians, we may have some perception of all these wonderful, beautiful truths. In text 3, of Bhajan Rahasyam, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is citing Padma Puran to elaborate on this concept of Nija Sarva Shakti, that you put all your potencies in the holy name. Krishna's name contains all powers. Krishna has invested all potencies in his name. Skanda Puran states, Dana Brata Tapas Tirta Yatra Dinash Chayastitaha Shaktiyo Deva Mahatam Sarva Papahara Shubaha Rajasuya Shvamedanam jnanasya yad yatma vastunaha krishya hanina sarva stapita svesha namasu. Whatever potency to nullify sins or bestow auspiciousness found in charity, vows, austerities, pilgrimage, the Rajasuya or Ashwamedha yajnas, knowledge of transcendental objects, and so forth, has been invested by Sri Krishna in his holy names. That means the primary names. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he recites a small verse here in Bengali. Dala yagya yoga jnane yata shakti chila sabaharinama Krishna swayam samarpila. Sri Krishna extracted all the potencies present in dharma, yagya, yoga, and jnana, and he put them in his holy names. In purport, the glories of the holy name are described in this text. Nam Prabhu easily bestows sense enjoyment, bhukti, and liberation, mukti. The mass of sins that are nullified by the performance of charity, vows, austerities, fire sacrifices, horse sacrifices, and so on, are destroyed by the mere semblance of Nam Prabhu. That means Namabhas. The results obtained from those desiring liberation and by those desiring sense enjoyment are the secondary results of Nam Sankirtan. The main result given by Nam Prabhu is the qualification to relish Bhagavan's sweetness or the nectar of prema through pure prema bhakti. Pure devotees do not pray to obtain secondary results of bhakti. Moreover, if these results are involuntarily obtained, they do not accept them. Rather, paying respect from a distance, they disregard them. The lives of Sri Rupa Goswami and Sri Raghunath Das Goswami are exemplary in this regard. So this is one verse he's citing to describe the powers and potencies of the name. And he also cites three other verses, 27, 31, and 32. So we'll just read those. We'll read those. It's also from Padma Purana. And it says here that do not endeavor to perform activities such as atoning for sins through karma and jnana. I'll just read the translation. That wretched person who comes, this is text 27, and second, Dvitiya Yam Sadhana, chapter 2. That wretched person who commits seva aparad at the lotus feet of Sri Hari can become freed from his offense. If he takes shelter of the holy name, every kind of aparad is nullified by service to the holy name. All perfection is attained by chanting the holy name without anarthas and with a sense of one's relationship with the Lord, continuously and uninterruptedly, like an unbroken stream of oil. So, constant chanting nullifies all anarthas, is what's being said there. It has so much power. We don't have to do any separate atonement to become free from anarthas. We simply keep chanting. So, although when one makes Vaishnava parad, then there's some activities that one has to do. Besides chanting, one has to approach the Vaishnava to beg forgiveness and render service also. 31 and 32, he cites two very famous verses to describe the extraordinary power of the holy name of the Lord, and how these are famous verses that Prabhupada often quoted. They're also from Padma Purana. Knowledge of the intrinsic nature of the holy name is given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which is quoting Padma Purana. Namachintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purna Shudo Nitya Mukto Vinatvam Namanamino. The holy name is a transcendental wish-fulfilling gem, Chintamani. For there is no difference between Krishna's name, Nam, and Krishna himself, Nami. In other words, the holy name is the bestower of the supreme goal, Parama Purushartha. This name is the very form of transcendental mellows, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The name is completely pure. That is, it is unlimited and eternally liberated, devoid of any connection with Maya. So there are many, many commentaries by different acharyas about this name, and Prabhupada himself has given unlimited discussion about this particular verse, rather. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigra. There's some commentary here. Nama and Nami are qualitatively non-different in principle. Therefore, in the name Krishna, all the transcendental qualities of the possessor of the name are present. The holy name is the complete absolute truth, unaffected by material matter. He is eternally liberated, because he is never bound by the illusory energy. The holy name is Krishna himself, and therefore the personification of the aggregate wealth of transcendental mellows. The holy name is a wish-fulfilling gem, able to give whatever one desires. Sri Nam Sankirtan, which is the practice, sadhana, is non-different in every respect, is non-different in every respect from Krishna, who is the goal, sadhya. The Nam Sankirtan is our sadhana, and our sadhya, or our goal of chanting Nam Sankirtan, is more Nam Sankirtan. Whereas Nam Sankirtan is Krishna, directly, and Radha, and all their splendor and their beauty and their pastimes and everything. This whole spiritual world is there. So we perform the sadhana of chanting Hare Krishna, and then we realize that and enter into the spiritual world to serve the Hare Krishna mantra in the form of Radha and Krishna. The one absolute truth who is imbued with transcendental mellows consisting of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, Satchitananda, is eternally present in these two manifested forms, Nama and Nami. And then next verse is, he cites, text 32. Atak Sri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grayamindraye Sevanuke Jivado Swayameva Sparatyada. Another famous verse Srila Prabhupada often quoted, that everyone must, usually Prabhupada would quote this verse in context of people saying they want to see God with their eyes, but the truth of the matter is, you will first see God with the tongue. The tongue engaged in seva, seva mukhe jivada, that will be the spurti. The tongue will give the spurti, the tongue will give vision, we will see through our tongue. So when newcomers hear this presentation, it's rather overwhelming. Because we are usually accustomed to seeing with our eyes. We don't have transcendental senses like Krishna, Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti, interchangeable transcendental senses. Krishna can eat with his eyes and see with his ears, and like this. But Prabhupada, citing this verse as evidence or praman, he was saying, yes, we will see Krishna with a service-oriented tongue. Our tongue is always taking Krishna prasad and vibrating the holy name of Krishna. Then by that, we'll see Krishna. The translation of Taksri Krishna Namadi. The material senses, such as the tongue, cannot perceive Sri Krishna's name, which appears automatically only on the transcendental senses of one in whose heart the desire to serve Krishna has arisen. Nam rup gunalila indriya grahinai seva mukhe kripakari indriya udai. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that with indriya grahinai, I don't have a translation, but it's quite easy. He's saying with the group of our senses, indriya grahinai, that we cannot see the nam rup gunalila seva mukhe kripakari indriya udai, that by the mercy Seva Mukhe, when our mouth is engaged in service of chanting Krishna's Maha Mantra, then arising within our senses, Indriya Udai, arising or appearing in our senses, will be the Nam Rup Guna Lila of Krishna. And that's described in Madhurya Kandambini, how all of our senses become the sense of smell to perceive Krishna's wonderful fragrance, and all of our senses become the sense of touch to taste Krishna, to touch Krishna's wonderful body, and then all of our senses become ears because we swoon in ecstasy at. And then Krishna speaks to us, and this very beautiful and poetic description of Madhurya Kandambini, how the, of course that's at the level of Shudanam, but one has experience of Krishna through all of his senses. Krishna arises in all the senses and captivates and inundates all the senses with his presence. In the commentary, it is a natural tendency of one who has the desire to serve Krishna, Sevan Mukha, to be engaged in chanting Bhagavan's holy name, which is his intrinsic form. The holy name himself appears and begins to dance on the tongue, and other senses of one who has a tendency towards Srinam Seva, in other words, an inclination for chanting. Bhagavan's name can appear even on the tongues of animals. Examples of this are Bharat Maharaj when he was leaving his deer body, and the elephant Gajendra when he was being pulled into the water by the crocodile. So, several acharyas have made this comment that the little deer was chanting Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Krishna, some type of non-sankirtan. So that non-sankirtan carried King Bharat to the body of Jad Bharat, up the scale of Varna, and up, become absorbed in Krishna's seva. Gajendra was also, besides offering a lotus flower to Vishnu, he's also calling out to Vishnu. He's also doing Nam Sankirtan. In Chaitanya Mangal, we hear the story from Lochan Das Thakur about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rabbi Nimai Pandit at that time. He was a young boy, and he and his friends found a group of dogs, puppy dogs, that were just, born, and they were playing with them. And somehow, Mother Sachi didn't appreciate that this Brahmin was playing with dirty dogs. So then she caught him and said, "Oh, what are you doing? Playing with this dirty dog. Go take a bath in Ganga and change your cloth. And, oh, what about my dog? Oh, I'll look after your dog. I'll tie him up." So then Nimai went to take bath in Ganga. Meanwhile, Mother Sachi untied the dog and took a stick and said, "Jow, jow." The dog ran away. And Nimai came back and he was crying, "Where's my dog?" This and that. That was there, the story. So that dog ran away. But he had been playing for several days, the Brahmin boys, all Nimai's friends, they were playing with that puppy dog and putting around her neck. And there were four or five dogs, and Nimai picked out the best looking dog. He had this nice one color. Some dogs are many colors. And so he was one color, and some of his boys were saying, "Oh, it's not fair, you picked out the best looking dog. You have the best puppy." And he said, "That's all right, you can come to my house and play with him every day, it's no problem." So, and then the boys became a little envious, and a long story. But that dog wandered away, being chased away by Mother Sachi, and went to the town square, and he started dancing. That dog was dancing on his back legs, and he was chanting, "Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda, Radhe Govinda." And a big crowd of people gathered around. "Oh, this is amazing. What kind of dog is this?" But in Bengal, they used to sing so many wild things that they weren't so excited, because sometimes in Bengal, some man will lie down on his back in a town square, and he'll have one skull from a dead body, and he'll put it on his chest, and he'll make that skull talk, and the skull, the jaw, the teeth and the jaws will open up like this, and people will gather around, and there'll be an assistant with him and say, "Ask any question." And because the man lying down, he's tantric and he's communicating. So they ask a question and the skull goes wah 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 like this. You've seen? I've seen. So they have all kinds of wild things with the tantric stuff in Bengal. And we read some things in Chaitanya Bhagavat, how the tantrics were trying to capture and, go into a house where Nityananda was, and then they saw these soldiers marching here and there, and so many things. So they thought, okay, this is interesting. The dog is chanting, maybe he's possessed, or maybe some tantric dog or something. But everyone gathered around, and they said, "Well, whose dog is this?" And they said, "This dog was with Nimai Pandit." Because they were inquiring, "How is it possible he's chanting? Is he tantric? Or what's going on?" I said, no, this dog is Nimai Pandit's dog. He must have initiated him in Nam Sankirtan. He must have inspired him to chant Radhe Govinda." So they're all speculating about how this dog is chanting and dancing. And then suddenly a Vaikuntha airplane came down with the Vaikuntha Vasis. And they approached that dog and said, "Aye, come. So the dog went, and then as soon as he stepped on the flower airplane, and then he turned into Narayan Roop. And Sarupya Mukti, and left his dog body back there. I mean, he died. And everyone saw this and said, wow, you know, this is the Nija Sarva Shakti. all the powers are in Krishna's holy names, even a dog. So Bharat Muni has felt that, became a deer, and he was chanting a holy name. Gajendra the elephant was chanting, and a dog in Navadweep was chanting also the holy name. So, as Prabhupada would often say, anyone can chant Hare Krishna, even a child or even a dog can chant. You can hear this on Prabhupada's tapes.
Why did you go to Vaikuntha?
Well, it's because there's no commentary on why he went to Vaikuntha, but that's all it said, so I can just repeat that. I can make different speculations, but he had received Nam, but maybe he didn't have the Adhikar, or he wasn't practicing Rag Bhakti, or... Of course, but he heard it from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so there's so many people in South India, they got Nam from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they got Prem by seeing him just passing down the road, and by hearing his Nam Sankirtan, they attained Prem. And then they went to their villages and gave other people Prem. But it's not really specified what type of Prem they got, but Mahaprabhu was distributing Braja Prem, so we can assume that they got Braja Prem. As far as that dog, I can't...
Maybe that's a good supporting example how we have an inherent relationship with Krishna.
Oh, yeah.
So it was a...
Yeah, in other words...
And it achieved its potential,
right,
by association with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Anupam.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, Maharaj is making the point that the dog didn't have the adhikar, the potential, as an astaibhav, to enter Brajadam. So his nam certainly purified him of all his anarthas or ignorance or karmas or whatever. But his potential, his taiba, was in Vaikuntha Bhav. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him the best fortune. He gave him Prem Nam through his ears, but his potential was only to rise to a certain extent. Because in the examples of Anupam and Murari Gupta and others, Lord Chaitanya was inducing him to chant the Madhurya Nam of Hare Krishna mantra. But they admitted their inability to give up their attachment for lesser forms of Godhead because they were in Vaikuntha Bhav, or Vaikuntha Bhakti, Ram Bhakti, etc. That's a nice explanation. And the Roshandas Thakur also is not known to be particularly concerned with tattva. he's not particularly concerned with tattva. He even states that himself, that he was a great musician. He wrote hundreds of bhajans, fantastic. We have one or two in the songbook, but he wrote hundreds of bhajans. And Hari Gaudiya Vaishnava Abhidhan, they say that Roshandas Thakur, he was interested in ras and ras and feelings, not so much in tattva. And even Haridas Das, who compiled that book, he's saying that if one wants the tattva, then he should read Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavat. But if he just wants the ras of Chaitanya's lila, then he should read Chaitanya Mangal. It's like this. He wasn't a stickler for details, so maybe the dog went to, join Krishna's pet dogs in the spiritual world, because Rupa Goswami says that Krishna has two pet dogs, Brahmaraka and Vyagra. So certainly we can pray to that dog to give us his blessings. I would certainly like to be initiated in the holy name from the lips of Lord Chaitanya and be wrapped around the neck of Lord Chaitanya and tied up by Mother Yashoda. That would be a great blessing. So these verses have been given here about this Nija Sarva Shakti, and this discussion so it gives us some idea of this aspect of the second verse of Shikshastakam. Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarva Shakti Stachapita Niyamata Smarane Nakala. So this is the compensation or the accessibility of the name, that there are no rules regarding smarane, there's no rules regarding time or how to chant. There are some rules, of course, we've heard some, but basically, in compared to other mantras which are so specific about time, which you mentioned, trisandhyam, time and position, one has to take bath and face in a certain direction, and do so much nyas and achman. And when we're talking about nitya kriya, or the daily activities of a sadhaka, one of those activities is taking the morning, it's called the ablution, or the morning pratiksnan, morning bath. But there are different types of baths, and one is called devasnan, nadi snan, to bathe in a river. Divya snan means to take bath outside while the sun is shining and the rain is falling. Sometimes it happens in the summer. Very beautiful. Sometimes the rainbows are there also. But it said the best of all snans is mantra snan. Is to just wake up and say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. That's the best of all snans. And many sadhus, in fact, they do that. As soon as they wake up, their beads are right on their pillow, or their beads are their pillow. And then as soon as they wake up, they just chant. And someone says, oh, you didn't do achman, you didn't do nyas, didn't do pratiksnan, didn't change your cloth. Even we are hearing sometimes some sadhus who describe their guru, and their guru was so much absorbed in bhajan that for weeks on end he wouldn't change his cloth. Of course, he was wearing silk, I suppose, but or some pure cloth, jute or silk. But he was asked, "Oh Guruji, you don't seem to be changing your cloth." He said, "I don't have time. I'm chanting 3 lakhs a day. I don't have time to bathe or change my cloth." Whereas we are rather preoccupied with changing cloth, ironing and changing and, you know, like this, especially the ladies section, that's one of the things they do. Generally, waste a lot of time with these things. But you can imagine, you would go to sleep, rest for a little bit, wake up, and move around the day here and there, and not even change cloth for 2 or 3 weeks. No rules. This Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is saying in this regard, on this particular phrase, Niyamatak Smarani Nakalaha. This mercy expression of the Supreme Lord, in other words, this is an expression of the mercy of the Lord, because this verse is talking about Bhagavan Kripa, Tava Kripa, Bhagavan Kripa, right? One line. But then this is the expression. This mercy expression of the Supreme Lord, of not imposing any considerations regarding the chanting of the holy name. And as Lord Chaitanya was saying in this chapter 20 of Antya Lila, verse 18, he says, Kayate Shurite Yata Tata Namila Kaladesha Niyamahi Sarvasiddhihai. The holy name may be chanted any time, even while eating or sleeping. No, there's no consideration of time and place. By chanting the holy name, one will attain all perfection. When we read Prem Vaivart by Jagananda Pandit and other scriptures that are describing some of the more intimate moments of Mahaprabhu's activities, we see that when the devotees would sit down to take, or rather to honor Jagannath Mahaprasadam in Puri, they would, between each bite, they would be saying Hari Hari, Hari Hari, because this word is especially pleasing to the heart of Radharani. This particular name of Krishna has unlimited beautiful and sweet meanings to Srimati Radharani. So to please Radharani, who is sitting with them and even serving them with his beautiful lotus hands in the form of Mahaprabhu, they would chant, they would take prasad, Hari Hari Hari, Hari Hari Hari, Hari Hari Hari. So they had their own meditations on that name, and they were also pleasing Lord Chaitanya at the same time. I know sometimes I've been in an association of Vaishnavas where they would propose this activity, chanting between eating. And one of those devotees is here, right here. So that's very nice. It's a nice thing. But it's at a certain point, that's why when the devotees are in assembly taking prasadam, in about the middle of the feast, some Vaishnava will say, Vaishnava Savadan, which means, be careful, Vaishnavas, because, you know, we shouldn't eat too much. And then someone in the line is taking the prasadam also, he will reply, Akanta Puran. So Vaishnava Savadan, Akanta Puran. Puran means, we're already full up to the neck, it's too late. So the one devotee is saying, be careful, don't fill all the way up to the lips. Because you fill all the way up to the lips, you can't chant Hare Krishna, you can't say Hare Bol. So they said, no, it's okay, we're only filling up to the neck. From here, the stomach up to neck, Akantapuran, is all prasad, Jagannath prasad. But there's still something from neck to mouth, so we're, Hare Bol, Hare Bol. We can still manage to niyamata swarane. So there's no hard and fast rules for chanting. You can eat up to the neck, you can chant here and there, anywhere. So there's no consideration of time and place. By chanting the holy name, one will attain all perfection. Then, Bhaktivinoda Thakur recites a verse from Skanda Purana, Nadesha Kalavastasu. Shudyari kama pekshate kintu swatantrame vaitam nama kamita kamadam. There is no restriction regarding time, place, or circumstance, or purity. In all cases, the holy name fulfills all desires. Nama kamita kamadam. And, yamata nasmarin. So. Oh. What was happening when I was taking these notes? Sometimes I would finish one thing and then I would come up across some other thing. So it's sometimes a little bit. It's like some treasure hunt here to find the notes sometimes. But just to back up a little bit, that's what I have in Niyamata and Smarane. Just that one comment. And then there's something on Sarva Shakti, that Krishna's name, Nija Sarva Shakti, has all. So now someone can ask a question, because we say, oh, Krishna's name has all powers. All the powers in Krishna's name. If the holy name is unlimitedly powerful, how can offenses block the effect of the holy name? So the analogy is given, which is quite appropriate. Fog, kuhara, I think in Hindi it's kuhara. Kuhara? Fog. No fog? Fog cannot cover the sun. It only blocks our vision of the sun. Because fog sometimes blocks the sun, the sun's rays cannot fall on us. Similarly, nothing can cover the unlimited power of the holy name, but offenses cover our hearts in such a way that the powers of the holy name cannot enter our hearts. When the fog lifts and disappears, the sun's rays shine on us without hindrance. In the same way, when we stop making offenses and the offenses disappear, the power of the holy name can fully manifest in the heart. It is like, the holy name is like a king. This is a very nice analogy. Holy name is like a king. At any time, he has the free will to make any poor man rich. But if the king is displeased with that man and withholds his wealth, that does not mean that the king is incapable of bestowing that wealth. Right? The king has the money, but he may not be happy with that man, so he doesn't give him any wealth. But if he's happy, then he gives. So the holy name is like a king. In other words, the king is a person. Nam Prabhu is a person. The holy name is the supreme person. So if we're making offenses, Vaishnava Parad, Dhamma Parad, Seva Parad, Jiva Parad, so many offenses, then Krishna's not very pleased. So we might be saying, hey, why I'm not getting any wealth? I'm not getting any of these treasures, this wealth and treasures that are promised in the first verse of the holy name. None of them are coming to me. Why is this happening? Oh, my dear sir, you are the cause of that. I can give you wealth, but you're acting in a way, you're displeasing me. You're not pleasing me, so why should I give you the wealth? The holy name is capable of giving praying to anyone at any time. But being displeased with the offensive chanter, Sri Namprabhu will refrain from giving him praying. What is the cause of offenses? The root cause of offenses is an envious mood, which prevents love from entering our hearts. Envy manifests from false ego, and it makes even a low person feel himself the greatest. It makes an ignorant man think he's very learned. Thus, one is blind to his own faults. One is blind to his own faults and to another's good qualities. An envious person can't tolerate another's success or spiritual advancement. So this is a little further commentary on this point. Niyamata then a tadrashi tavakripa. Oh, excuse me. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he speaks about this idea, Niyamata smaranena kala, in two verses from Bhajanarasya, text 4 and text 26. So we'll take text 26 because it's near or nearby. And so we can read that one. This is from Padma Puran again, and the title of this verse is overcoming excessive attachment to the rules. Niyamata, niya means rules. This particular month of Kartik is called Niyam Seva, where everyone serves. They try to follow so many rules and regulations in their offering of service to Radha and Krishna during this month. It's called Niyam Seva. Sometimes so many prayers and so many attending so many classes and offering so many gilams, and it's like this. The Padma Puran states, one should give up niyamagraha, it's also a nectar of instruction, and follow the essence of all injunctions. He said in one commentary, he says, one should overcome excessive attachment to rules by understanding their underlying purpose. Smartavya satatam vishnor vismartavyo natjatuchit sare vidhi nasheda asyur etayor evakin karha. This is the famous verse, Prabhupada quotes. Smartavya satatam vishnor. Always remember Vishnu. That's the main rule. One should always remember Vishnu and never forget him. All other rules and prohibitions are subservient to these two principles. The two principles are remember Krishna, that's one principle, or Vishnu. And the other principle is don't forget him. So, there's the Achman, one of the verses in one chants for Achman is the same thing. Om apavitra pavitra va savavastam kato viva yaksmanet pundrega aksham sa bayabhyantara suchi Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. There, it's telling, Om apavitra pavitra va, whether one is pure or impure, yaksmanet pundregaksham. If he remembers pundregaksha, the lotus-eyed Lord, Krishna, Vishnu, Gadadhar, Gauranga, Lord Gauranga, the lotus-eyed Lord, simply by remembering, automatically becomes totally pavitra, or pure, whether he's inside or outside, or he's moving or not moving, or wherever he is, sabha-yabhyantara, he's outside or inside. So this is, again, being told here, in the Padma Puran, smartavya means remembering. Smartavyasa tatam Vishnur. So remembrance of Vishnu is so important. This is the main rule. And the easiest way to remember Krishna is by chanting the holy name. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he cites a Bengali verse in reference to this. Yahe Krishna smriti hai, tahe vidhi jani, Krishna vismaraka karya, nisheda bala mani, bali mani. Translation. I hold that all injunctions are meant to promote remembrance of Krishna, while all prohibitions are meant to keep one from forgetting Krishna. Purport. All of the various rules and regulations, right, niyamatak smarane nakala, we're discussing this, all the various rules and prohibitions, which means yama and niyama, of Shastra are established on the basis of the above stated main rule and prohibition. The main injunction is that throughout one's life one should always remember Bhagavan Vishnu. The main prohibition is that one should never forget him. To abandon sinful activities, to give up indifference to Bhagavan, and to atone for sins are subordinate to this principal injunction and this principal prohibition. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he has a commentary on this verse, because it's cited in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And Vishnu Chakravarti, like Jiva Goswami, he also has a commentary on nectar devotion. So in this particular verse, Satatam, what is it? Smartavya Satatam Vishnu, he says, what does this word Satatam mean? Satatam means always. In a sense, this is very interesting. He says that Satatam, which means always, actually means every day. It means every day, and not at every moment, because this is factually impossible. And no universal scriptural injunction should be impossible to carry out. It's kind of a relief there. In other words, the literal meaning is that smartavya satatam vishnu, one should always remember Krishna and never forget him. That means sleeping and at every second. Of course, that will come to pass. Well, you know, at the topmost end of prema, there's Swapna Vilas Amrita, and at the level of prema, one's dreaming about Krishna and waking and speaking about Krishna. So at that level, the Krishna can't possibly leave the person. But when a person reaches the level of prema, then they're beyond all the rules and regulations, and they're beyond all the... So injunctions and rules and regulations of scriptures are for those sadhakas who have not attained prema. So therefore, as Vishnu is telling, that such rules and regulations of the scriptures, which are meant for all of us non-premika bhaktas, should be realistic and practical. So I very much appreciate the elucidation or illumination of Vishnu Chakravartipad. It makes it a little more within our reach. Oh, okay, we can sleep. We can sleep. Now, Srila Prabhupada used to sometimes say in his series, I don't know what moment, but he said, actually, my disciples should not sleep. Sleeping is dead condition. They should not sleep. But unfortunately, most of us have to sleep. He himself didn't sleep very much. And we can't really even categorize Prabhupada's lying in bed as sleep as we know it, a total nidra of forgetfulness, because there's numerous accounts of Srila Prabhupada's sleep actually being another form of his preaching. Various servants in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning, they would hear Prabhupada saying, "You're wrong. This is not like this. These scientists are taking everyone to hell." And then the servant would open the door and look in, and Prabhupada's sitting up on his bed. He's like lying in bed. He's sitting up on his bed, and he's just saying, "You're wrong." And he's having like this conversation with someone who is invisible. But Prabhupada, so these servants have given these accounts that Prabhupada was very much absorbed in day and in night, in the service of Sri Krishna, either preaching or meditating on Leela or whatever. So certainly he was a Vaikuntha personality. So he's saying Satatam means every day and not at every moment. Because this is factually impossible, and no universal scriptural injunction should be impossible to carry out. So, this is one verse. And there's one other verse, text 4, along that discusses the same point. This is from a scripture entitled Vaishvanara Samhita. So this is to emphasize the idea there's no rules in chanting, niyamata. So, in the performance of nam bhajan, there is no consideration of cleanliness or uncleanliness, nor of proper or improper time. Adesha kala niyamo na shocha shocha nirnaya param sankirtana deva rama rameti muchite. Translation. And chanting the holy name, Nam Bhajan, there is no rule concerning place and time, nor is there one regarding cleanliness or uncleanliness. By repeating the name Brahm, or in other words, by performing Sankirtan of the Maha Mantra, the topmost liberation, namely Prema Bhakti, is obtained. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has a very nice Bengali rendition of this verse. Desha kala socha shocha vidhi name nai Hare Krishna nama name sadyatare jai. He brings it right to the point of, because it says Rama Rameti Muchate. It's talking about Ramnam. For the name of Rama Rameti, get liberation. So he says, Hare Krishna, Ramaname, Sadya Tare Jai. There are no rules governing the place or ritual purity regarding chanting Harinam. Simply by chanting the Maha Mantra, I shall be delivered. So, there's some small purport here. Oh, this is our Gopal story comes again here. When chanting the eternally perfect transcendental holy name, there are no rules regarding place, time, and so forth. In the performance of austerities and fire sacrifices, one has to follow rules prescribed by the Vedas. There's certain days, certain stars, certain days, certain directions, certain times. Many, many things have to be considered in all these other practices. But the holy name can be chanted under any circumstance, whether one is in a pure or impure state. By his own strength, Nam Prabhu purifies the heart of the sadhaka. The story of Gopal Guru is noteworthy in this context. A young boy named Gopal was staying with Mahaprabhu and serving him in Puri. One day Mahaprabhu was going to the latrine and he caught hold of his tongue with his hand. When Gopal asked why he was doing this, Mahaprabhu replied, "My tongue never gives up chanting Hari Nam. So when I am in an impure condition, I must restrain my tongue." Gopal said, or asked, "If someone were to die at such a moment, going to the latrine, what would happen to him?" Hearing this, Mahaprabhu praised the boy and said, "What you say is true. One should not consider cleanliness, uncleanliness, and so forth in chanting the immeasurably powerful names of Hari. From today, your name will be Gopal Guru." So this is a repetition of the story we heard before. So I think we'll just stop there. There's a few more minutes. If there's any questions, or because then tomorrow we can begin with Etadrishi Tavakripa, the mercy of the Lord. Yes. Excuse me?
From what you've explained today, it seems that this verse is actually asking for a major paradigm shift. It is probably best expressed in prayers like, "Please free me of envy of Krishna and his energies. Please free me from duality and separatist mentality."
Can you make that phrase in more simple English, in terms of major paradigm shift? Because I'm from a small village in Radhakunda. I don't know all the sophisticated language.
just meditating what you've been saying this afternoon, it's new to me that it seems that
in terms of what we've been brought, what we've understood to be the meaning of this verse appears to be somewhat different than what we discussed today.
Is that not like that, but rather our conditioning is black and white, right and wrong.
Oh.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But here we're talking, Krishna has unlimited potencies, and they're an expression of his mercy for all levels of persons.
Oh yeah, this same kind of thinking and this same kind of broad-mindedness is also presented very much by Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself in Chaitanya Shikshamrita, how he's trying to broaden everyone's, in his discussion of Jiva Dharma, what is the Dharma of the Jiva, then he describes there very beautifully and the different types of people, different types of religions, and why they're there, and it's a similar kind of offshoot of that. So that, because the Brahman, the Gaudiya Vaishnava Brahman, is not only supposed to have the quality of liberality and be a liberal thinker, but he should also be a very discriminative thinker also. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is really trying to improve our discrimination by expanding our vision of reality. So with increased knowledge, we can expand our vision of reality and thereby improve our discrimination, which will distinguish us as enlightened Gaudiya Vaishnava Brahmins or Brahmanis, which Prabhupada certainly wanted. So we're very much in debt to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his illustrious son, and other Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, because they show us that it's not only black and white, but it goes from infrared to ultraviolet. Black and white are rather boring and pale, but when you get into color spectrum, you get infinite varieties of yellow and green and blue and red and infrared and ultraviolet. And this is really the type of discrimination we're talking about when we're talking about the perception of the Gaudiya Vaishnava in relation to reality and also in relation to the Krishna conception. It's multivariate and multifarious. It's colorful, it's sweet, it's joyful, it's playful, it's of itself and for itself. So, because, you know, we're on the top of the mountain, or at least we're pointed in that direction. And everyone else is sitting at different levels of altitude. I mean, Everest is 36,000 feet, and that's where Gaudiya Vaishnava reigns, at the top of Everest. But the other religions and other philosophies, they key in at 3,000 feet and 5,000 feet. And so our hierarchy, our hierarchy of Siddhanta is coming from the topmost plane. We, of course, we Dordai Bhamijishamini Ajani Nanaraga. We can look up, oh, it's a very big mountain, and oh, my home is up there. Not sure. Anyway, that's very nice to know. Maybe gurus and parampara, they will pull us up there and give us that all-encompassing and all-embracing vision of the true Gaudiya Vedanta that should live in the heart of the Gaudiya Vaishnava. So our attempt of gathering here together is an attempt to bring us to this point of realization. I think now our time is over. Thank you very much. On Chakopa Trivia Show. Go follow.